ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6 and Chapter Number 9, entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasur. And today we are covering text number 44. Atho isa jahi tvas Tristram Atho Isha Jahi Tvastram Grasantam Bhuvanatrayam Grasantam Bhuvanatrayam Prastaniyena naha Krishna Prastaniyena naha Krishna Tejamsi astra yuddhanicha Tejamsi astrani yuddhanicha Atho isa jahi tvastram Grasantam bhuvanatrayam Grastaniyena naha Krishna Tejamsi astrayudhani cha Tejamsi astrani lamsa Atoyami pastam Prasannam bhuvanatrayam Prastaniyena naha Krishna Tejamsi astrayudhani cha Adho isa jahi tvastram Prasandam bhuvanatrayam. Thank you. Rastaniyena naha Krishna Tejamsi astrayudhani cha Mataji's place. Adho isa jahi strastram Nadannam bhuvanastrayam Rastaniyena naha Krishna Tejamsi astrayudhani cha Adho isa jahi tvastram Rasannam bhuvanatrayam Rasannam Krishna Tejamsi astrayudhani cha Adho isa jahi tvastram Prasandam bhuvanatrayam Prastaniyena naha Krishna Tejasya asmayudhanicha word for word meaning and purport by Srila Prabhupada in translation. Atho, therefore, Isa, O Supreme Controller, Jahi, kill. Twastram, the demon Ritrasur, son of Twasta. Grasantam, who is devouring. Bhuvanatrayam, the three worlds. Grastani, devoured. Yena, by whom. Naha, our. Krishna, of Lord Krishna. Tejamsi, all strength and prowess. Astra, arrows. Ayudhani, and other weapons. Cha, also. Translation. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Controller, O Lord Krishna, please annihilate this dangerous demon Vritrasur, Twastat's son, who has already swallowed all our weapons, our paraphernalia for fighting, and our strength and influence. Please repeat after me. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Controller, O Lord Krishna, please annihilate this dangerous demon Vritrasur, Twastat's son, who has already swallowed all our weapons, our paraphernalia for fighting, and our strength and influence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 15th and 16th verse, Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradamaha mayaya prita jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna artho jignasur arthaarthi jnani cha bharatar shubha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. O best among the Bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. The four classes of neophyte devotees who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to offer devotional service because of material motives are not pure devotees. But the advantage for such materialistic devotees is that they sometimes give up their material desires and become pure. When the demigods are utterly helpless, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in grief and with tears in their eyes, praying to the Lord, and thus they become almost pure devotees, free from material desires. Admitting that they have forgotten pure devotional service because of extensive material opportunities, they fully surrender to the Lord, leaving to His considerations whether to maintain them or annihilate them. Such surrender is necessary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Marbi rakhbi yo ichha tomar. O Lord, I fully surrender unto Your lotus feet. Now, as You desire, You may protect me or annihilate me. You have the full right to do either. Om Jnanati Mendasya Gana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Malita Minyanda Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Purijan Prabhupadinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Today we are almost reading end of the prayers offered by demigods to the Lord, where we can see demigods are feeling themselves helpless and they want that Lord help them. And in that position, in that situation, natural humility arises and they take complete shelter of the Lord, that, you know, we cannot do anything. So far so, they tried to fight that demon. But demon, Vitrasura, was so powerful that completely annihilated all their weapons and power. And now they come to their senses that, you know, yes, we cannot do anything without Lord's help. So they, in utmost humility, they surrender to the Lord. Yesterday's class, Surya Gopal Prabhu has already covered summary of the incidents happened so far that has brought to this point today. So I'm not going to cover, and most of you are following Srimad Bhagavatam daily, so you know what is happening, what is the background. So I'm not going to repeat what has happened before that has led to this situation. Towards the end, Anirudh Prabhu asked a very nice question. Anyone remembers who were here yesterday? Or anyone heard the class? So pretty much we'll continue from that same point. And Prabhupada's purport is basically answering what Prabhu was asking yesterday. So Prabhu's question was, devotees, like demigods. Now they have full, you can say, very, very well versed. You know, they have full access to Vedic knowledge, and they are very well versed. They know the shastras. They know Vedic literature, and they themselves says that, right? In these prayers we hear that, oh Lord, you are omniscient, you are omnipresent. You know what we are going through. So we don't have to even tell you. But yet we tell you, please come and help us. Right? And here we see demigods' prayers are tinged with material desire. They want to regain their power. They want to regain their position in the heaven. So later in the verses you will see, Lord glorifies pure devotional service, which is beyond the personal desires one can have. When they approach the Lord, one should have a selfless service mode rather than, you know, asking for Lord for something personal use. So, devotees like demigods, Prabhu asks, that although they are in such an exalted position, but still we see that they are not offering pure devotional service to the Lord. So what do we learn from them and how do we overcome that problem? How do we overcome the mistake demigods are performing? So that's what Prabhu asked. So we shall continue, Krishna's willing, Krishna's will. I shall be able to glorify Lord. So here Prabhupada says that the demigods, they become almost pure devotees. So Prabhupada also mentioned that. So yet, they are not in the position of pure devotees. They are on the way to become pure devotees, right? And towards the end, Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions about full surrender. The pure devotee who has unalloyed devotional mood towards Lord Krishna, what does he think in this situation, in this life-threatening situation demigods are going through? When it comes to pure devotees, how do they think? So what is the Bhakti Vinod Thakur Maharaj's prayer? Prabhupada quotes. I'll be asking question in between, okay? So be ready. Yes, Prabhuji, please. Yes. So they are saying that, Lord, please do whatever you like. It's your desire. You can save me or you can annihilate me. I am fully surrendered to you. Right? So this is the mode of pure devotee. They take full shelter of Lord Krishna in difficult situation in their life. So now tell me, from Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, question for you. Name few devotees who exhibit this mode of complete surrender. That, Lord, mar bhi, rakh bhi, yo ichha to mar. One by one, okay? Prahlad Maharaj, raise your hand. You said some? Prahlad Maharaj, yes? Amrish Maharaj, which name you said? Prahlad Maharaj, okay. At least say five names. There are more. See, our kids are so intelligent. Yes. Dhruv Maharaj. What was the situation? Was he in life-threatening situation and he called out for the Lord? Yes or no? When? Sorry? Okay, not he wasn't in life-threatening situation, and not at that time he approached the Lord. Later on he approached the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj and Amrish Maharaj, you said? Yes. Any other devotees? Gajendra, yes. Very distressed situation. He was in life-threatening situation and he called out for Lord's help, Lord's protection. Yes, Madhari. Haridas Thakur, well, very good. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Draupadi, yes. Uttara, yes. Nagapatnis. Their husband. Not pure devotional service, yes. Arjun, did he call out to Lord for help? In which situation? Life-threatening situation? In the beginning. Was he afraid or like that? Confused and distressed. Very nice. One more name. Yeah, you brought so many names I brought already. Very nice. Gopinath Patnaik I thought of as well. You remember that pastime from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? So he was punished by King Pratap Rudra's son to be killed. And he actually exhibited full surrender. That I don't want to disturb Mahaprabhu. You know, if this is going to happen, I'll accept death penalty. Parikshit Maharaj also exhibited full surrender. Yes, in that category. Now, on contrary, name the devotees. Now, here you mixed up, okay? My question was, how these devotees exhibited full surrender and they didn't, and they did call out for the Lord, and on other side, some devotees who didn't call out, but they accepted the whatever was happening, you know, the situation. So name those devotees. You have already Chitraketu. In which category? Okay. Let me again rephrase. So first category is devotees who exhibit this, that Krishna, either you kill me or you protect me, is your will. So devotees in that category. Ambarish Maharaj, you said. Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, these devotees are in that category. And the other category, who are in life-threatening situation and they really call out to the Lord for help. So in that category, some of you said that Draupadi, Gajendra, right? Who else? Uttara, someone said. Parikshit Maharaj didn't call. Right? He accepted the situation. He knew. So, are you getting what I'm saying? Clear? So, there are two categories of devotees. One who call out to the Lord and one who doesn't, who just accepts the situation. Now, the question comes... Who among these two devotees, let's say, advanced or more pure than other group? No, these two groups I'm talking about, not Hanuman. Are you clear about these two groups? Okay. So, who is better than other? Okay. Chandrasekhar Prabhu, what do you say? Any Matajis? I need answer from you also. Did you get the question? One group of devotee who calls out to the Lord for protection and one group of devotees who just takes full surrender and shelter, you know, whatever comes, I'll accept. Okay. So you won't take any sides. Right? So is Draupadi not fully surrendered?
She was fully surrendered, and she has to call for help.
Yes. So that's the answer. My question was tricking you. You know, it's what it was a tricky question. You know, I just question was wrong actually. So both categories of devotees are pure devotees. It's not like that. You know, one group of devotees and better than other one. They both are pure devotees. Both group of devotees are pure devotees. And you cannot discriminate their devotional attitude. They both are fully surrendered. So, coming back to Anirudh Prabhu's question, so what do we learn from and how do we overcome? And so in short, the answer is our Navidha Bhakti. So these all devotees are exhibiting one or other limbs of that Navidha Bhakti. So, it's nothing wrong to accept the situation in the life-threatening situation and take full shelter of Lord Krishna and do nothing. And on the other side, it's also not wrong to call out to the Lord for our protection and help. They both are valid. They both are correct. Now, what is the point? The point is the mood, the intention behind what you do is actually the key point. The intention to please the Lord, to serve the Lord, that is the thing it matters most. So when we call out to the Lord for help, if our intention is to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, then it is pure devotional service, unlike these demigods. Right? So demigods want to regain their prowess and power and opulence. But in case of Draupadi, it wasn't like that. So we shall elaborate this subject, and then we'll take few examples. You have already mentioned Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then we'll try to understand this subject. So, asking Lord Krishna for our protection is appropriate or not? Yes, it is appropriate. No problem. One should approach. Now, there are 3 points. Now, this is what my limited understanding I am going to present. It can be more than 3 reasons. So, there are 3 reasons in this category. If someone is asking the Lord for protection in life-threatening situation or difficult situation. The first one, that they know that no one other than Lord Krishna can protect me. They have very firm faith in that. They have very full, proper understanding of Shastra. So they don't go anywhere else. They just approach Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, this is the situation. Please help me. So in that mood, they are actually approaching Lord Krishna. So isn't it correct way to do? Yes, right? So if someone approaches in that mood, what's wrong? Nothing wrong in that. They are going to Lord Krishna. They are not going to demigods or any other so-called powerful person in the world. Rather, they go to Lord Krishna because they know Lord is all-powerful. Lord is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is supreme. No one is equal or more powerful than Him. He is only my shelter. So in that mood, Draupadi approached Lord Krishna. So when in that assembly, She was insulted and about to put into very precarious situation. Duryodhan ordered Dushasan to disrobe her. She didn't ask anyone's help in the assembly. There were so many powerful personalities present there, right? Like Bhishma and all her husbands, they all were present. Hare Krishna, do you need anyone's help there in kitchen? All good. She didn't ask anyone else. Draupadi was brought in that assembly. Before that, she was approached by one servant of Duryodhan, and then Draupadi said, I won't come there in the assembly, but rather you find out that whether Yudhishthira Maharaj lost himself first or they lost me first. So, very valid question. So, if Yudhishthira Maharaj has lost himself, then he is servant of Duryodhan, right? So, how can then, you know, a servant who actually lost himself can, you know, give Draupadi as a servant? to Duryodhan, because he is his servant now, you know, he doesn't have anything left in one sense. So Draupadi wanted to know that. And then when she came to assembly, she asked the same question, that who lost to Duryodhan first, either me or Yudhishthira Maharaj? But no one would answer that. That's all she wanted to know, and that is a very valid question. If Yudhishthira Maharaj is still having proprietorship over Draupadi, then definitely, you know, she will accept this situation. But she said no. Yudhishthira Maharaj cannot put me as a gamble. But then situation got worsened, and then we know that Duryodhana ordered Dushasan to disrobe her. She immediately calls out Lord Krishna for protection, knowing very well that none of these people in this assembly can protect me. So no, this is her exalted position, that she knows that no one else but Krishna can help me. And we hear some other stories also, but actually it is not giving proper mood Draupadi has. For example, you know, there is one story we hear that, and it's good, we can tell this story to other people, especially, you know, when we engage other people in chanting of holy name, we say that, you know, we narrate this story, and then we say that Draupadi was helpless, and, you know, she was she knew that, you know, no one can help me, and neither I don't have any strength left, and this Dushasan will win. And she raised her hand to call out the Lord, but same time, you know, there was a sari, you know, end of her sari was stuck in her mouth. And as soon as that thing went out, Lord Krishna came. That, you know, Lord Krishna was waiting there, you know, okay, she is still trying her last strength to protect herself. But when that also gone, you know, Lord Krishna immediately came. So we hear the story that, you know, the Lord was having a gambling match with his queen, Rukmini. And Lord was not paying so much attention in that game. So Rukmini asked that, what has happened? Why you are losing today? So he said, I'm not feeling good, Lord Krishna says. Why? The Lord Krishna said, someone is in problem, someone is in trouble. So Rukmini says, then please go. Why are you sitting here? You know, you can go. He said, no, I'll get late. It's too late now. And then he said, but for you, it's possible, you know. You just immediately, you know, you took Garuda and you went to save Gajendra. So like that, you know, you can immediately go there. What is the problem? No, I'll get late. Even that is not fast enough. And then he said, but you are Lord, you know, you are present everywhere. So all you have to do is just, you know, you just appear there. Right? So Lord Krishna says, no, that is also not possible. You know, it will take too long time. And then Lord Krishna immediately says, okay, now way is clear, you know, I'm going. So we hear that, you know, Draupadi's sari came out of her mouth, and then Lord Krishna says, oh, now way is clear, you know, I'm there. So Lord Krishna was waiting that, you know, Draupadi takes full shelter of Lord Krishna, and then he comes. But here we see that, yes, this is a folk story. It's not mentioned in any Shastra, as I believe. But it's a good story, but still it is undermining Draupadi's position. Draupadi was never ever like that. She always knew that, you know, Lord Krishna, only Lord Krishna can protect me. So she didn't ask anyone in the assembly, neither she tried her own strength to protect herself. Rather, she directly approached Lord Krishna. So this is first point. The second point, that they want to continue their service to the Lord. When they are in this life-threatening situation and they call out to the Lord, their mood is they want to continue their devotional service. So first one is they know Lord Krishna, only Lord Krishna can protect me. Now second point is they want to continue their devotional service. And in that mood they call out to the Lord. I'll give a couple of examples. For example, Uttara, you said. So Uttara, in the situation that she knew that there is, of course, she was also in full knowledge that Lord Krishna, only Lord Krishna can protect me and my child in my womb, no one else. But same time, she also knew that this is the child in my womb is the last child in this dynasty. You know, everyone, Draupadi's all five sons were killed, right? Pandavas, all sons were killed. Only, now this only one child is left. And you know, if this Brahmastra will kill this child, then, you know, this legacy of Pandavas won't continue. And it is very, very important to have righteous Raj Rishi to look after the citizens. So she is also having full understanding, full knowledge. She is not just being emotional, oh, this is my child and, you know, I need to protect her. She is not just being emotional. This is what very many people make mistake. In our, actually, our culture, woman is being considered, you know, subordinate and, you know, weaker in terms of difficult situation when it arises. You know, they don't take proper decision, thoughtful decision, we think like that. But not like this devotee ladies we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam, like Uttara or Kunti. Kunti Devi, for example, when they were in forest, after they were about to be killed in the forest, Duryodhan and his companion arranged to burn them in that house of lead, and somehow they escaped. And after that they approached one family in village, and they gave them shelter. And we hear that there was one demon called Bakasur who had arrangement with that villagers that every now and then they have to send some bullock carts of grains and one human being so he can eat them. So one day the family member where these Pandavas were staying, they were discussing that now, you know, from our house someone has to go. And Kunti Maharani happened to heard that conversation. So out of compassion, she, after hearing that conversation of that family member, she approached them and said, you know, don't worry, you know. And she also felt that these people have given us shelter in this situation. So it is our duty also to help them in their difficult situation. So she said that, don't worry, my son can go. You don't have to. Your family member can stay here safely. But my son, my Bhima, can go and fulfill this obligation. And Yudhishthira Maharaj came to know. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj said to his mother, Kunti Devi, that, you know, but our strength is Bhima. You know, we are dependent on Bhima. Our in future, you know, when time comes, you know, Bhima is needed very much to conquer our kingdom and, you know, fight Kauravas. And what have you done? Why have you taken this decision? So Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that, you know, just because of being emotional, Kunti Maharani said that. But Kunti Maharaj said, no, you know, I know Bhima. I know him. Not only that, he will go there, but he will kill that demon and come back. I know his strength. And then she narrates all the incidences where Bhima helped him. He was poisoned when he was young, but he came out. And that situation, you know, where they were planned to be burned alive in the house. Bhima brought them out, right? So she knew. She had full understanding and full knowledge also. And she was confident. So she wasn't just being emotional. She had knowledge as well. She knew. So with intelligence she took decision that, you know, Bhima will go and he will kill all this demon. So yes, it's not just being emotional. Uttara is rushing to Lord Krishna that, no, this is my child, you know, please save. No, she knew that, you know, devotee will come and then Bhagavatam will be spoken. And for all the people in the Kali Yuga, you know, this Bhagavatam will come to their rescue. So it was in that devotional service mood that Uttara is asking Lord Krishna for protection. So is that wrong? No, definitely wrong, right? So this is also pure devotional service. And the third point in the same category, that Lord has his Ras Raj, right? So he enjoys all the rasas. So we see he enjoys with Rukmani also, who is very humble and submissive, but on contrary, you know, he has loving relationship with Satyabhama also. Both are his queen. Amongst gopis also there are two groups. One is submissive and very polite and very caring, and others are, you know, they always want to fight with Krishna. If Krishna says something, why you do that, you know? And then they fight with Krishna. And Krishna enjoys both. He is Rasraj. So it happens that to give pleasure to the Lord, this devotee call out to the Lord in their life-threatening situation or in the difficult situation. Because it engages the Lord. For example, it's natural, you know, when your child comes to you, or anyone, if someone comes to you and asks for some help, don't you feel good? Oh, he has considered me. Let me help him, you know. And you feel good, right? So Lord also feels like that. There are a few examples. That in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one devotee who is actually expansion of Satyabhama again. So he used to bring very nice scented oils for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for massaging him. And then very nice foodstuff he would bring to feed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sannyasi, so he would reject. No, I am not going to take. I can't use, you know, I am sannyasi. Now how can I rub nice scented oil on my body, you know? Jagadananda Pandit, his name is. And then one day, he found out that, you know, Lord is not accepting what I am bringing. These gifts he is not accepting. So he said, I am going to fast. I am not going to eat. And he wouldn't eat. And then Lord had to come and, you know, pacify him. Okay, Jagadananda, you know, I will take, you know, I will eat. But you now please eat. You know? So he has to pacify him. So see, he has that mood. And then he induces Lord to do something for him. But the mood is ultimately that he is Rasraj. He enjoys all kind of rasas, you know. And he wants to give pleasure to the Lord. Not that, you know, something personal is involved in this kind of position in this kind of request. Advaita Acharya, for example. So he makes Lord angry. Right? So he devises a plan. And then he makes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to him and beat him. So this is in devotional service mood, that devotee may call out and engage the Lord for their service. For example, Lord Ram. So Lord Ram, we see his life, if you have to caption his life, what is his life about? Difficulties, right? Full of difficulties. And when you read his life story, Ramayana, we read here, what comes out, what emotion comes out in our heart? Do we feel compassion for the Lord? Oh, Lord is going through so much trouble, Oh, Lord. Do we feel like that? Or no? We do, right? So, Lord is using that emotion, that he is going through so much trouble, and now, devotees read and hear about himself, it brings that emotion out. And then, through that emotion, that bond is becoming stronger. So it can happen. Devotees call out to the Lord so that, loving relationship become more stronger between Lord and the devotee. So these are the three reasons. It can be more, as I said. These are the three reasons devotee call out to the Lord. Please, name them. First one. They have complete knowledge that only Krishna can protect. Second one, they want to continue their service. And third one, Krishna is Rasaraj, so they want to engage in different rasas. And we gave example of Draupadi in the first, second, Uttara, and third, there is no direct example I can think of, but a few examples I mentioned like that. Advaita Acharya and Jagadananda Pandit. Now on other side, devotees who take full shelter and they don't do anything, like Prahlad Maharaj and Amrish Maharaj, they say, Krishna, it's your desire, whether you kill me or protect me, I'll accept whatever is that. What is their mood? What is their devotional service here? So here I mentioned 4 points. The first one, that they are so much engrossed in their devotional service, remembering Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, that they don't even feel that they are going through troubles. Same for them, They are completely absorbed, that they don't feel that, they are going through troubles. And it comes and goes, situation comes and goes. They are fully surrendered. So they don't call out. Prahlad Maharaj, for that example, so he wasn't worried, oh, my dad is, my father is, throwing me in a fire, or, throwing me out from the cliff. He is just absorbed and thinking, Lord Krishna, Narasimhadev. And he's just remembering Lord Krishna, that's all. This is their mood. Second, humility. Out of humility, they don't call out to Lord Krishna. They think that, I am servant of Lord Krishna. How can I engage Lord Krishna in my service? In that category, I feel Sudama Vipra suits very well. He was poverty-stricken, Brahmana. And he was going through so much problem in terms of maintaining their livelihood also. They didn't have enough clothes. Then their clothes were torn, and just says, they both had just a single piece of cloth. Every day they would wash and then they put on that same cloth, wet one. And food, imagine, this kind of situation they were going through. But Sudama and his wife, they were so much devoted to Lord Krishna. And until that point came, and then we hear that pastime, his wife asked, okay, we know Lord Krishna is your very close friend from the time of Gurukul, you studied together, please go and ask. And whole thing happened, even Sudama went to Dwarka But he didn't even ask. He went to ask for some opulence, but riches, but he didn't even ask, and Lord Krishna gave him later on. So this is the mood, you know, that I am servant of Lord Krishna. How can I ask Lord Krishna and engage him in my own service? So that's why they don't ask. The third, they think, the third point, they think that, you know, this is my karma. I must have done some sinful activities, and I am sinful, and I must be punished, and I must tolerate this, and I must go through this. So in that mood, they will never ask Lord Krishna, even in life-threatening situation or any problem in their life, they will not ask Krishna for help or protection. And we hear Brahmaji mentions, Tatenu kampam susamakshamanu. So he says that this is my karma, you know, I'll tolerate that and I'll continue my devotional service. So in that mode, they take full surrender. And the fourth one, whatever Krishna desires, here Srila Prabhupada mentions, maribe rakhibe, Srila Prabhupada had exhibited this mood very much. On the ship Jalduta, when he approached almost America, shores of America, he wrote a poem, right? And we hear that beautiful poem. Should I read that?
Can you get it? Lilamrit, second part, the first book on the left. Go in the third from top, third shelf from the top, and no, I think second shelf from the top and right, Lilamrit. Yeah, the first book. The first book, pick the first book. Volume 2.
Sorry, I would have taken that. I read that. So here, the poem Srila Prabhupada writes. So I'll read only few last verses Srila Prabhupada wrote. So he says, O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So, if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their heart, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hand. So, if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in your holy names of Krishna. I have been designated at Bhakti Vedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. So, here Srila Prabhupada says, you know, I am your puppet. Make me dance as you like, you know. So he's not saying anything, he's not asking anything for his personal reason. He says, now you have brought me, this is also your will, you have brought me here, and this is the mission, if you want to fulfill, you empower me. I am just like a puppet in your hand. So this is full surrender. And Prabhupada also again in that they want to continue their service. The other point I was mentioning, devotees want to continue their service. So when Prabhupada was very sick, and devotees asked him, Srila Prabhupada, shall we pray to Lord Krishna for your protection? Then what did Prabhupada say? Yes, you can pray, but how to pray? Srila Prabhupada mentioned that, right? So he said, you can pray to Lord Krishna that Lord Krishna, our spiritual master, has still his service incomplete. If you desire so, please, you know, keep him here amongst us so he can complete his service. Like that you pray. So this is what Prabhupada's mood was. Full surrender. So whatever Krishna desires, I shall do it. So let's do recap a little bit. So here, those devotees who take full shelter, the 4 points I mentioned, what were they? First one, they are completely absorbed, like Prahlad Maharaj. Second one, humility, that I am servant of Lord Krishna. Why should I call Lord Krishna for my help? Example, Sudama Vipra. The third one, my karma. I am going through my karma, I should tolerate. Why should I disturb Lord Krishna for my personal help? Who? Lord Brahma. And the fourth one, whatever Krishna desires. We took Srila Prabhupada as example. Right? So, yes, the both category of devotees are pure devotees, one who calls out and one who doesn't. But ultimate bottom line is, they both want to please Krishna. They both want to serve Krishna. They both want to continue their devotional service in Krishna. In that mode, they do whatever they do. With this, I shall end Srimad Bhagavatam here, the class. And please, if you have any comments, any correction, any questions, you can ask. Thank you so much. Yes, Prabhuji. Where does Lakshman?
Because he was serving the Lord. And Lord chastised him also, because when Sita was kidnapped, he still chastised him.
When?
When Sita was kidnapped. Against Rama and Jami in the forest, so then again Rama chastised Lakshman also. Still he continues his service.
I mean, which category, which group? Well, I mean, I think full surrender, you know. I meant to serve Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, you know. So whether he chastises me, he punishes me, he annihilates me, I shall continue devotional service. So I would say, you know, he is in that full surrender category, yeah. Yes, anyone else wants to say something? Question? Yes, Madhuri. Slowly. Last part I didn't get it. Uttara. Yes. So yes, that I already mentioned that. So devotees know that only Lord Krishna can protect them. So that's why they take shelter of Lord Krishna alone. Is that okay? Anyone else want to say something? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.